Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tennell. For today, Sunday, April 24th, we want to welcome you all to the show tonight. If you have a question or a comment for tonight's conversation, we ask that you would call 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399. We're going to forego the beauty news tonight so that we can just jump right into our conversation. On the line tonight, we have the CEO and founder of Dinner for Divas, Alma Davis. Welcome to the show, Alma.
Hey, thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. Now, you know, my sister and I met with you the other day. We had a wonderful conversation, and I just thought that it was important because, you know, we're going to, you know, ask makeup artists and wardrobe stylists and hairstylists to join us and to work the event this year. And I thought it was important that they hear what Dinner for Divas is all about and how it came about. So
yeah.
If you would you introduce yourself to our listening audience and just let everyone know what inspired you to create Dinner for Divas?
Absolutely. Again, Alma Davis, and I'm the CEO of the Alma G. Davis Foundation. And we sponsor a signature gala, an event called Dinner for Divas. This will be our seventh year doing Dinner for Divas in Atlanta, Georgia. And Dinner for Divas is where we come together as a community, and we honor over 150 ladies, young ladies, young girls, starting at the age of 13, and women that are all survivors of domestic violence, and they live in shelters all across the state of Georgia, and there are even survivors that are not in shelters that come to this gala. The night is a very, very special night because we bring these ladies in all day long. They come in for free wardrobe, formal wardrobe, hair, makeovers, nails, massages, free self-defense classes. They get all these things that we are preparing them, and they don't have a clue of what they're getting ready for. And it is not until that night that they come back to the gala. As they walk the red carpet, they find out that everyone that is there to honor them for their bravery, for them stepping out of their situation and trying to get their life back together. Dinner for Divas, the whole foundation is very personal to myself. We've been in existence, this is year 11 for us. I started the foundation because I myself am a survivor of domestic violence. I grew up in a household where I saw this, and this became a very vivid and daily part of my life. And so at the age of 14 years old, I had my first set of black eyes from another 14-year-old boy who saw it every day in his household. So this became our norm. And it wasn't until I got older in life and realized, you know, that this was not normal, that this was a big, ugly secret that so many people are affected by, so many people keep quiet by, so many children are forced to witness. And I decided in my early 20s to do something about it. And the foundation was started. And from that, we created the whole vision and the whole movement of how do we help survivors. And our whole mission is to educate, empower, and celebrate survivors. And so from that, Dinner for Divas came about 7 years ago, and the whole thing is, if I can show you how beautiful you are on the outside, then I can show you how beautiful you are on the inside. And that's a first step for survivors, is knowing how beautiful they are. And there you have Dinner for Divas.
With that, you said a lot. Showing survivors how beautiful they are on the outside.
Yes.
Why is it? Do you think because of the domestic violence that, and I know that men and women both are victims of domestic violence, but I'm specifically thinking of a woman when I ask this question. Why do you think having to show someone or to let someone know that they're beautiful on the outside, where does that come from? Is it the fact that they are being abused physically and emotionally? They get to a point where they don't believe that they're beautiful?
Yes, absolutely. So often when people hear domestic violence, they think that's automatically physical. No, the physical aspect is the last point of it. So before you even get to the physical, you go through a matter of different types of domestic violence incidents, from mind control, verbal abuse, mental abuse, separation, financial abuse, where, you know, you don't have finances. And so all of those key things play into how a survivor or a victim feels about themselves. And so one of the greatest things that an abuser does is tear down that the survivors or the victims, their self-esteem. And so they rip that apart, and they make you feel as if you are nothing, that there is nothing about you. So beauty is the last thing. And when you start to add on the bruises, the visible bruising, the cuts, the black eyes, whatever it has, it, you definitely don't feel like you're beautiful on the outside. So that's why it's so important for us to, in order to change that mindset, we have to show them visibly, look at yourself. You're not what you've been told or what people have said to you, and we want to show you that. And the way for us to do that is, number one, to let you look at yourself in a mirror differently. You know, it's so amazing that night when those women and those young girls see themselves beautified, their whole demeanor changes. You know, even as women that are not going through that, you know, we all, you know, when we look better, we feel better. That's just the norm for us as ladies. You know, when you know you're on your A game and you're looking great,
right?
You feel better, you act better. So we take that and we utilize that to begin to change the mindset of victims. So to answer your question, that's why it's so important for us to start to reverse what they've been told, and we do that by starting on the outside.
And what's the age? What's the age range for the ladies that you help?
We start at 13 years old, 13 all the way up until 100. I mean, it doesn't matter. But our youngest age is 13, and we laugh about the older age. But you'll be amazed at the number of women and older women that it affects. Every 9 seconds, a woman is assaulted or abused. And the statistics show 1 out of 4 women and 1 out of 7 males are victims. But only 5% is reported. So if you do real calculations, if we're saying 1 out of 4 women and only 5% is reported, the numbers are actually greater than that. So it affects all of us.
Wow. And you said you received your first set of black eyes when you were 14.
14 years old.
How did that make you feel in terms of, you know, like before that happened, did you have low self-esteem? Because I know that you experienced the domestic violence within your home as well. Where were you in your life? Were you already experiencing low self-esteem and that kind of thing? Or did the set of black eyes, was that the start of it all?
No, having to grow up and be a part of that and see that, all of that stuff plays in your mindset. So the things that you hear that are being told to your parents or told to that you know, whoever you're having to experience and hear that with, those things as a child you begin to think upon and you begin to internalize it. And so often people don't understand when children are involved in domestic violence situations, those children are affected. 10 million children a year witness a form of domestic violence. And so most 85 to 90% of kids that witness it or are in those households, they are abused as well. So it transfers. So what is being said to the mother or the father, whoever's getting abused, that same language is being used towards those children. So at 14, I'd already heard a lot about who I was and what I was not because, you know, that was coming down to me and we were involved in the abuse. So when my 14-year-old boyfriend at that time, it wasn't a norm for me to hear the things that he said. And so when the first time he hit me, I got a set of black eyes. I was already in the stage of low self-esteem. And funny enough, the day that happened, as soon as that happened, I was on my way to go and model for a mall. So I showed up to this to get my makeup done, and here I had a black eye, and I was very disheveled and crying, and all they could do was sit there and shake their head and cover it up. So even covering that up for me was like, oh, I just put a bandage on it and keep going.
Right. And for years, you covered it up.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, because we were just speaking about older victims, and now you're talking about you yourself being a victim at the age of 14. Can you share with us, if possible, like the youngest age of a victim that you all have helped with Jennifer Divas and the oldest?
Youngest, I would have to say maybe, I think, eight years old, even though we started 13. Some of the mothers who have daughters who have been in the situation, they're in shelters with their children. You know, it's important for us, even for a young girl that has experienced that and seen that, for us to gravitate to her and capture her now, because she's already been very exposed to it. And so we try to reach back as young as we can go. It's a little different from talking to a young 8-year-old that doesn't have a clue of what we're talking about or dealing with it versus someone that's 8 that's already seen it and experienced it and is living in a shelter trying to get away from it. So that would be the youngest age that I can recall coming with their mother. And I think the oldest had to be late 60s. Late 60s. We get various ages of women that come.
Wow. So just for women out there who have never experienced anything like this, but so they think. But there are a lot of women out there who are being verbally abused, mentally abused. What are some of the signs that you can look for? Or what are some of the things that you should watch out for? I think people know they're being verbally abused. They may not call it verbal abuse, but you know when you're being talked down to. You know when you're being,
called names.
To me,
the name
calling.
We're
being called names, the name calling, you know, being called stupid, being called whatever, being called out of their name. We know, again, we may not identify it as verbal abuse, but it is what it is. It's verbal abuse.
Right.
So along with the verbal abuse and the physical abuse, what are some of the signs that you could possibly share with us?
Some early detection signs are, number one, being alienated, meaning your partner is beginning to separate you from family or from friends. Mm-hmm. And it's so easy for us to first think, oh, wow, they're just that into me. They don't, you know, they want all of my time. They don't want me around other people. Well, that's not very healthy. And so that's one of the first things you start to look at when someone's trying to alienate you because they don't want anyone else in your ear. And that goes to the mind games, the mind control. People, they begin to start taking your money or telling you, okay, I'm only giving you X amount of dollars to spend, controlling your money or not allowing you to have your own finances. Like I said, speaking down to you verbally, calling you names, calling your children names. As it progresses, there are little things that begin to start happening, whether it's pulling on you, constantly physically pulling on you or tugging on you, cursing at you. There are just so many little things, the warning, the red flags that begin to pop up that we have to be more vigilant and paying attention to. Some of the other things, pinching, you know, these are little things that we think are cute or some that some women think are cute or and actually you need to be saying, hey, well, wait. And you should know, you know, we have to pay more attention to that gut feeling that we have. So often women and men that are in these situations, they see the red flags. They know them, they feel them, but they don't pay enough attention to them, number one, or they choose to ignore them. And so we have to start paying attention. No one should be verbally abusing you or talking down to you. No one should be trying to control you or play the mind games with you. So these are a little beginning first steps, and then as it progresses, like I said, that's when the physical begins coming in. Maybe slapping you this time, or someone's that angry, they don't hit you, they punch a wall, or they kick something. They start to hurt the animals. Those are all warning signs that these are not healthy relationships and that that person is very capable of abusing you.
Wow. Because that's the thing. All of this stuff is taking place before the actual physical abuse occurs.
Yes. Yes.
So it's like,
it is.
How does one stop it before you actually get slapped or before you actually get a black eye? Like, how do you get out of that?
Well, again, when it happened is the first time, you don't wait for the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth time.
Right.
Because it doesn't stop that. It doesn't stop right there. So it's a part of what we do through the foundation is teaching. There's a lot of educating women, men, even those around you. If you see this going on or you see somebody being in this situation, educating them, having the knowledge yourself to educate them, or even sharing the knowledge and helping them understand, hey, this is not the best situation for you. Anytime you feel like you're with someone that is not pushing you to be a better you or making you feel good about yourself, that's not a healthy relationship anywhere across the board, whether it's physical, verbal, but that's not healthy anyway. And so we have to begin to continue to teach women, young girls, even males, their value and their worth. So in order to stop it, you got to be able to see these signs and say, you know what, I'm valued more than that. I don't deserve to be talked to like that. I don't deserve to be treated like that. And so let me get out of this situation before it becomes even worse.
Exactly.
Right. Okay. Now, I want to talk about the dinner in a few minutes, but I know that you do this dinner annually, you just mentioned it briefly, but can you speak in detail about some of the programs and events that your organization does throughout the year that would help these women?
Yes. So under our mission to educate, empower, and celebrate, we do tier programs under each one of those. So under our education component, we work with shelters all across the state of Georgia, and we go in and we teach classes, and we take our corporate partners in, whether that's understanding how to get better work-study skills. We teach you that. We teach you how to utilize LinkedIn. How do you even interview? What's legal for you to answer if you are in a shelter? What's legal for you to not answer? So for us, educating is teaching our survivors and our victims how not to find themselves back in that situation, helping them understand even down to their health, how is your health affected by you staying in these type of situations? Because people don't calculate and look at all the different components that are tied into domestic violence, not alone just from your health standpoint. So anything that we can educate you on how this is affected, we do that. And, again, it's also educating the community. Educating the community to understand what exactly is domestic violence, how this affects our children, how this affects everyone around us, even down to how it affects our economy and how it affects corporations due to money that's lost. Billions of dollars a year are lost due to domestic violence in corporations. So for us, it's educating through that manner. And then we turn around and we empower people. How do we do that? We do that two ways. Number one, we take survivors or ladies that are still in shelters, and we partner them with our corporate partners, and we give them the resources that they need so they don't have to go back in domestic violence situations, whether that's taking them out of the shelters and partnering them, helping them get a job with our corporate partners. We do those type of things. We give them all of their tools, all of the resources, if that means we need to. Even we've had men call that let us know that they are abusers and they need help, and that's partnering them, empowering them to know that they can make a change and empowering them with the resources they need to make those changes. So we empower them through that way, as well as we do an annual walk every year in October. This year is October the 1st, and it's called Walk a Mile in Their Shoes. It's a 5K run, 1 mile walk. But if you walk instead of run, you partner with a real survivor, whether that's a male survivor, a female survivor, or a child. And as you walk together, that survivor shares their story with you. So you're truly walking a mile in their shoes. And that is empowering in itself, because you have so many survivors that come out to say, hey, I never talked about this, but I've been through it. Or I'm a survivor because I watched my mother or my father go through this every day, and I had a choice. Either I became an abuser or I walked away from it. So that's another way we empower them. And lastly, what we do, and we do very well, is we celebrate and honor them. And that's through our Dinner for Divas Gagalus. That's through us saying, you know what? You are worth knowing that you are beautiful, that we celebrate you for deciding to make a change, because no one can get out of that situation until they decide to. We can talk, we can, as family members, we can love on them and tell them how wrong it is for them being in a situation. But until they make that step themselves, nothing is going to change. And so we celebrate that. We honor them for doing that.
Let me ask you, are the statistics higher for men and women, who are in violent relationships and they leave, but they can't make it on their own, so they turn to the help of a shelter, versus those men and women who are in relationships, they leave the relationships and can make it on their own?
It's pretty hard to say. It goes both ways, because what you begin to see is that most people that can leave those situations, they do. But the number one reason why people stay in those relationships is because of financial ties. They don't have a way to make it on their own. And what we are trying to do through the foundation, because what we see that the numbers of people needing help is so much larger than the resources and the shelters that are available. The shelters stay packed. They stay because there's so many people that this is affecting, but there are not enough resources out there. So to answer your question, I think there are more people that want to get out and get in shelters, but they may not have the resources, they may not have the knowledge, and they may not, because of the brainwashing and all the things that go into domestic violence situations, they don't think they can make it on their own at all. Mm-hmm. So, again, going back to our foundation, that's what we're here for. We're here to give them the solutions within themselves and tangible solutions, tangible resources, so they don't have to keep going back.
Right. Right.
Is it true that, for the women who can make it on their own, who's financially able to make it on their own, but is it true that sometimes the shelters are just a safe place for these women?
Yes, that is very true. The shelters are, and again, if they could have done it, they would have already done it. Again, because going back, that's why people stay in those situations, is because of the lack of finances. So going into the shelter is a breakaway. A lot of people, when the situation has gotten so violent that they are fearing for their lives, the shelter may only be the safe haven that they have to get away. So we see that a lot. That's why people do go to shelters, because they're tired and they need resources. They need finances to start over.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And so what is that like for a woman who's entering a shelter for the first time, whether she's by herself or she has children? What is that process like, and how long are they there? Could some of them be there for years, or is it just a matter of months? Does the shelter have like a shelf life? Like after 6 months, you have to go. What is that like?
For each shelter, they have different guidelines and regulations. So depending upon what shelter that they're trying to get into, or what shelter they're put into, you have some that are a temporary stay shelter. So it may be 6 weeks. That they're allowed to stay there. You have some that are a bit more long-term, that are 6 months. You have some that are transitional. So after you've been in a temporary, they're helping you transition to long-term housing. So every shelter has different rules and regulations for what they do. Some of the shelters that help domestic violence victims also address other issues and other problems, like alcohol problems or drug problems, because a lot of people that are in these situations, again, they turn to other outside things to comfort them. So a lot of them are have drug addictions, alcohol addictions. So again, different programs have different stipulations and different guidelines. But so you can be in a program from as little as 1 day to as little as 6 months, even some that may run a year. The longer that they go, you find less shelters that go that long. And again, it's because of resources and turnover period. You can be in a shelter for 1 day if you can't follow the rules and regulations, because they all do. If you don't want to do it their way, or you're putting other people's lives in jeopardy, because as you enter that shelter, you got to understand there are very strict rules and regulations, because you're here because your life is in danger and you don't want to endanger anybody else's life. So it is very scary initially going in, especially if you have children. But the shelters do their best to accommodate that and to make everyone feel as comfortable as possible. Again, I can't speak for every shelter, but there are so many different protocols and different things. But again, to answer your question, it can be as little as 1 day and go up to, the longest I've seen is a year.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk a little bit about the dinner, because I'm asking makeup artists and hairstylists and wardrobe stylists and nail techs all across the state of Georgia, but not only that, all across the country, to join us this year in volunteering for Dinner for Divas. Tell us a little bit about that day and what actually goes on and what we're all going to be doing. How are we going to help these women feel more beautiful on the outside?
Well, if you can imagine getting 200 women and girls ready for an evening, it's quite a daunting task, especially when you have so many moving pieces. So when the ladies come in and they are staggered out all day from like 8 in the morning till 2:33 p.m., they come in and they get to try on wardrobe, where we get dresses donated from the community, newer, gently worn formal gowns and shoes. So number one, that's a way that other people can help as well, is helping us with dresses, getting all sizes from 0 to 36. I mean, because you have so many different various sizes. But the ladies come in and they go through different stations. So one station may be etiquette. They may be in the etiquette class at that time. Another one is, going in and trying on dresses, trying on shoes. So many of our women and girls, they've never been in formal gowns, so they don't know their sizes. They don't even know what their bra size is. So it's helping them figure out what they like, what color they like. Most of them, I'd say 95% of them, have never been dressed up. So they go through that process, and then they go in to hair and to makeup and to nails. So you have a room of maybe about 120-150 makeup, hair, and nail technicians all in that room. And so you're getting your hair done. You'll see about 50 to 60 hairstylists going on, 50 to 60 makeup artists, and then people getting their nails done and massages. And everybody's in this one humongous room, and it's just the energy. And you'll see everybody. You'll see some people smiling. You see some people that are afraid or, you know, getting transformed or not feeling their best because they just got into a shelter. But the part that is so uplifting is watching all of these stylists and cosmetologists just uplift and make that person's day that's sitting in that chair. So you might have a survivor sitting in your chair, and they might want to share their story with you. You see some stylists crying. You see some sharing their own personal story of being a survivor. But they go through all this transformation all day, and like I said, it runs till about 2-3 o'clock. And just the stories that come out of just the helping that comes out of that's what the stylists. That's what they do, and it's just amazing to help to change somebody's life in that manner, in that 15-30 minutes of time that they have in front of you.
And I heard you say earlier that the ladies don't know what's going to take place. They don't know what happens after the transformation.
Right. They don't have a clue. So when they once they've gotten their dress and their hair, nails, makeup, all that stuff done, they actually leave and go to their shelter some, because we have shelters that come from out of town, or they stay and they get dressed. But again, they don't have a clue of what is getting ready to happen when they walk the red carpet that night. And so for us, the greatest part is when those doors open and they see all these faces, some familiar, some unfamiliar, all these faces there to applaud and show them that this night is about them. It's amazing. This year is the first year that we are opening the actual gala up to the public. So out can purchase tickets. We've gotten so many inquiries about people wanting to see that night unfold. And so this year we are opening up to the public. We make sure that we have a positive role model at every table. We try to cater, especially because it's a women's event, we have a lot of males there as well, positive male role models. So you will see some celebrities in there. You see athletes. And it's there to help them understand that, hey, regardless of where we are and our point of life, we want you to know that we care. We still want to stop what we're doing to show that we care enough about you. So it's just an incredible evening that these ladies and these young girls get to unfold. At the end of the evening, before we leave, we do a toast of life, toasting their life starting over. And then we do a celebration of life. It's like a party at the end. And as I mentioned to you all, we have to actually turn the lights on to get them to really leave, because they're so happy by the time that celebration starts. They don't want to go because it's a new start for them. And so it's just so magical and incredible. So we encourage people, even if you cannot come or do makeup, that, you know, come by, purchase a ticket, come to the gala. Or even we do a thing where you can sponsor a survivor to go. All of our survivors come for free. So we have people that come in and want to sponsor survivors coming to the gala.
Nice. And what have some of them said about the actual gala, you know, after it was over, their experience?
To be honest, I think that's most incredible part is the after experience. The gala's on Saturday, I promise by Monday, by the time we get back in the office, we have cards. We get tons of cards in the mail. We get calls. We get thank you letters. The testimonies you'll see on our website, those are true testimonies. We get ladies that have never been dressed up, so they send us information or calls. So, you know, I slept in my dress. They sent us a picture that they slept in their dress and their makeup all night long. Or I have no one's ever stopped to just pour back into me or help me. Or no, most people have ignored me or ignored what I've gone through. So we get tons of thank you cards. We love it. We love it. We get tons of calls. What's so great also about our foundation is a lot of our survivors, they come back and work with the foundation because of what we've done to help them to change their life. They want to give that back to somebody else. So We stay engaged with a lot of the survivors. Even once they've gone through Dinner for Divas, they come back, start going through our program, start going, you know, to different trainings that we're doing. And every year we honor a Diva of the Year and a Junior Diva of the Year, and that's somebody that we've watched come through our gala. And for that next year, we just watch what they've done with their life to change their situation. And so that's incredible to us as well, to be able to come back and highlight them and say, you know, you've done some really incredible things. And for that, we want to highlight you on another level.
And I guess that's kind of motivation for some of the ones who will be at the gala this year. That's kind of motivation for them to say, hey, look, you know, I think that's nice that they were honored, you know, and it kind of helps them to, once they leave that night, you know, I need to do something. You know what I mean? I need to, you know, do something great for myself.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And they're happy to come back and share with us what they're doing. You know, and that makes us feel good. They want us to know that we impacted them enough that night to say, hey, you gave me the courage that I needed to keep moving forward. And so we love it. You know, we love it. That helps us improve what we're doing, and that lets us know that what we're doing is working.
Well, so talk a little bit about, I'm sorry, I just wanted to speak a little bit about the actual day when they're going through hair, makeup, and all that. Can you talk a little bit about social media and the do's and don'ts of social media while the women are there? Because I think that's something important for anybody who's coming in to, you know, to help for that day.
Yes. Now, one of the things that we do with anybody that's coming to volunteer, they go through, they have to go through a full background check. They have to fill out paperwork, confidentiality agreements. And so we actually will do a training prior to that, either that morning or the day before, on what those do's and don'ts are. We make sure that we have all of our survivors covered, to where some are willing to sign up and say, hey, I want to share my story. It's okay for you to publicize what you're doing. But most of our social media is only done through foundational people because they know, and we have a team there that takes pictures and videographs, but they know what they can and cannot do. So we have it very laid out for people that can be photographed, those that cannot, and permission that is given. And so we make sure that everyone understands that and knows that we have no problem with them, you know, hashtagging about that they're helping, because we get that all the time, that people post, you know, we're helping with Dinner for Divas, or, you know, today is the gala, and, you know, we're helping all the survivors, and because that helps people to know what we're doing. So we will make sure that anybody's involved, they have all the rules and regulations prior to about what they can and cannot put out on social media, because again, our number one focus is to make sure that these survivors are safe, and we do not want to jeopardize that at all that day.
Right. Nice.
Just to speak a little more, even down to security on that, we don't even let the makeup artists and the hairstylists, everybody's coming in, we don't let them even know until the week of where we are holding them to come in, because we don't want to jeopardize, you know, the safety of everybody else.
Right. Do you, can you tell us where the dinner will be held? What day the dinner will be held this year? And then also, are there any plans to expand and go other places here in the country besides Georgia?
Absolutely. The gala, the dinner is on Saturday, June the 25th, and we have a red carpet VIP reception at 6 p.m., and the gala starts at 7. And we are definitely going to other cities, and we are in the planning of that. This is the 7th annual gala here in Atlanta. We have had cities from all over, from L.A., New York, D.C., even Houston and Dallas have invited us in to bring what we're doing to those cities. So we are expanding. We're expanding this year to the point of, I didn't mention, in October 13th and 14th, we are hosting a national conference in Washington, D.C. on domestic violence. And on the 15th, that Saturday, the next day, we will be having a national walk a mile in their shoes. So we are making this a national movement. That we want to venture out to be a global movement to stop domestic violence. So we welcome being brought into other cities to do what we're doing. And within the next year to 3 years, we will be all over the country. And so, yes, we're definitely moving because it is not just affecting where we are here in Atlanta. It's all over the place.
Alma, tell me, what do you want? What's the one thing you want the domestic violence victims who come and reach out to you guys, what do you want them to know? What's the one thing, you know, based on all the work that you do through your foundation, what's the one thing that you want them to know? And then what's the one thing that you want the world and the volunteer, those who are interested in volunteering, to know about your organization and the work that you do?
The one thing I want survivors to know is that you are not alone. You're not out here by yourself. We are here for you. We are a community. We help you get past what the situation you're in now. Even if you need help, we want to help you get out of that. There are so many people that have gone through this and they've made it out. And how do we help you? You know, so if I had to say anything to a survivor, is don't think that you're out here by yourself, because you're not. We are here for you. If there's a survivor, if there's someone now, right now, listening that needs to know how to get out, I beg you to please call 1-800-799-SAFE, S-A-F-E, and that is the National Domestic Violence Hotline. They can get you right now, help you find a shelter, help you get a safety plan. If you cannot get to them, which you should, call our office. We're not there right this second, but call our office, 678-957-9464, and we will get you the help that you need. So that's the number one important thing to a survivor, is that you are loved. We loved you. You are greater than the situation that you are in. You are better than what's been told to you, and we are here to help you. What I want other people to know about our foundation is that we are here to do the work. We have been doing the work, and we are not fly by night. We are here to stay. We are the foundation, the Alma G. Davis Foundation, to help victims, help survivors, even help abusers get the help that they need. And we want the world to know that we need everyone to join our movement to stop domestic violence. It affects everybody. It affects our mothers, our daughters, grandmothers, brothers, our sons that have to watch it, fathers. And so, number one, the communities know it's not just it's not about other people. It's about everybody and us coming together as a community to help each other. The second thing I would say that I want the community to know about our foundation is that we are here to be the voice for the voiceless, and we can't do this by ourselves. There are so many children that have to witness this that don't have a voice. I didn't have a voice, but it's enough is enough. And so we, through our foundation, we are here to be a voice for the voiceless, and we need the help of others to be educated and to help those that cannot speak for themselves. Thirdly,
can you repeat
I would.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, thirdly, I will definitely tell people to stop ignoring the signs and help those that need help. And for other people to pay attention to the warning signs. Stop having a blind eye or a deaf ear to what's going on because you think it doesn't affect you, because it will affect you. It will affect you, and it does.
Well, you think it's not your business, and you don't have any business being in somebody else's business.
Right, right. And we are one, and all of us have mothers. And if women are affected, one out of four women, all of us have fathers. We have brothers, sisters, sons. And I think one of the major things that we have to understand is even in curtailing the violence that we see taking place every day outside of households and outside of communities, most of this is learned behavior. So what you're seeing behind closed doors rolls out into the streets. It rolls out into why we see so many girls fighting girls on videos, all the violence that's taking place. And a part of the way that we can help reduce that is address what's going on behind closed doors. Stop being silent.
Right.
The...
Let me ask you
can
this
you,
one last
I love the twin thing going on.
I know.
Yeah,
I know. I just wanted to get those numbers again. The number to your foundation, as well as that 800 number, if someone's, a victim of domestic violence.
Okay. The number to our office is 678-957-9464. That's 678-957-9464. And the National Domestic Violence Hotline is 1-800-799-SAFE, S-A-F-E. That's 1-800-799-7233. People can also join us and get help via social media. So we are on Facebook under Alma G. Davis Foundation. We're on Twitter and Instagram under Alma G. Davis FDN, which stands for Foundation.
Okay. Now, Alma, one last question. I know we're talking about the victims and, you know, who are the voiceless ones, but has your foundation ever experienced, or have you ever know of any stories or ever heard anything like this where the actual abuser has reached out to your foundation or reached out to, you know, or have you ever heard a story of the abuser coming and saying, hey, I need help?
Absolutely, Jess. Last year, at the end of last year, I was on a national syndicated radio show doing an interview, and by the time I finished the interview and got to my office, there was a message from a man on the phone that said he was listening to the interview and he was so convicted by what I said that he wanted to call and let me know that he was an abuser. He was abusing his wife and that he needed help. He desperately needed help. And we called him. We partnered him with one of our partnering organizations, Men Stopping Violence, and got him the help that he needed. We later found out that his wife had actually come to the Dinner for Divas gala not even a couple of weeks prior to that. So, yes, we see that. We hear that. We get those phone calls. I constantly get people coming up to me wanting to talk and pulling me to the side and saying, hey, I'm a victim, but I'm also an abuser. Because here's another thing people don't talk about. 95% of abusers were victims first.
Right.
You know, so, you know, they were the victim, and they took their anger and what the things they went through, and they became an abuser. So I get people all the time saying, hey, you know, I'm embarrassed to say this, but not only am I a victim, but because the only thing I know how to do is fight, I'm now an abuser. And so, yes, we get that all the time, and we make sure we get people the help that they need.
Right. Wow. Well, again, we are looking for nail techs and makeup artists, hairstylists, and you said this time you want more wardrobe stylists involved.
Yes. Yes.
So
we desperately need more stylists. Yes, in that manner as well as wardrobe. Yes.
You don't have to live here in Georgia, but
no.
You know, we need your help. Like she said, 200 women or more, and I mean, they're going to be beautified head to toe. So,
yes,
yeah. This is not a quick 5-minute makeup. We want, you know, we want them to feel special. So we need your help. And if you also, if you know, you talked about the gowns which they get to keep.
Yes.
You know, other companies that could sponsor. Any information that anybody has would be something great. Now tell them your website so they know how to go out there and look and see. You know, if they have any more questions about what you're actually doing, they can check it out.
Yes, the website is www.almagdavisfoundation.org. And that's almagdavisfoundation.org. And they can easily, like I said, even if they're on Facebook and want to shoot us a message, we have like a 3-minute turnaround time of answering messages. They can do that. They can contact us via Twitter. Definitely call the office. 678-957 9464, and we will be happy to get them on board, answer any questions. If there are sponsors out there that want to be a part of sponsoring, not only just sponsoring Ladies to Come, but sponsoring the gala that we do on a whole, or even sponsoring our foundation on a whole, we are here, and we desperately need the help.
And again, that's June 25th, correct?
Yes, June 25th.
Okay. And we're going to be posting on our social media as well. So between all of us, we should be able to get some volunteers going. So thank you so much. I really appreciate you joining
thank
us. You know, typically our show is we're talking to a makeup artist or a hairstylist or someone in the beauty industry, and it's always about, you know, the outward appearance and that type of thing. But every once in a while we like to, you know, bring someone on who has not really talking to anything about that, you know, so to speak. But it to me, I think it's a very beautiful thing when people give back to help someone else, you know, give of their time, whatever it is that they're giving to help someone else. And I just think that this is a very important work that you're doing. And I just thought that it should be shared with everyone.
Well, I appreciate you all.
If we wanted to, like, post on social media now about Dinner for Divas, is there any special hashtags that you're using?
Yes, we're using Alma G. Davis Foundation. We're using hashtag Dinner for Divas. We're using the hashtag Stopping Domestic Violence. Domestic Violence Survivors. And if you look on our Facebook page under the foundation, you'll see everything. Every time we put a post or, you know, we ask people to come out and help, and even like makeup artists, you'll see all the hashtags right up under that. But yeah,
gotcha.
Definitely hashtag the Alma G. Davis Foundation.
Okay. Perfect.
Nice, nice, nice. Well, thank you so much again, Alma, and we'll
thank
be in touch very, very soon. Absolutely. I'm excited that you were able to come on tonight.
Well, I appreciate you all so much for helping to spread this word, for you all being a part of this movement, because, again, we can't do this alone. And it's like acts from you all that want people to know, want people to help, that helps us do what we do. So we don't take that lightly, and we truly appreciate you all for what you're doing.
Absolutely. It's our absolute pleasure. And we're going to get you some people this year.
All right. We're excited.
All right.
Listen, I promise you, it'll be a life-changing experience. It will be.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. Thank you again, and we'll be in touch shortly.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you guys for tuning in tonight. As always, follow us on Facebook. We're Beauty Talk Online, and you can follow us on Twitter at @beauty_talk, and then we are on Instagram as @beauty_talk_media, and then you can follow my sister and I just by our names on all social media outlets. We are Denise Tennell and Janice Tennell. That's Janice. Last name is Tunnell. Again, we are looking for makeup artists, hairstylists, nail techs, and wardrobe stylists to help out this year. The date again is June 25th. Dinner for Divas is the event, and we're excited about being involved this year. And my sister, I know, has worked it before a couple of times, so we're just excited to help Alma out this year, and it's for a worthy, worthy cause. So if you're interested, hit us up on our Facebook, or you can email us at beautygirlsmedia@gmail.com. That's beautygirlsmedia@gmail.com. All right. And you have anything else you need to say before we go?
That's it. I'm excited. I can't wait. I think it's important you know, that everybody heard this information tonight, because
right.
I'm sure there are a lot of women out there, if, you know, basically with just verbal abuse, even if it hasn't
mm-hmm.
turned into physical abuse yet, you don't want it to get to that point. So,
right.
you know, when you see those signs of a man being controlling or a woman being controlling, you know, you have to, like she said, you have to go with your gut, you know. Even if you're just
yeah.
so in love with this person, consider yourself and put yourself first. You should, you know,
right.
you shouldn't allow anyone to treat you in such a way. So if you're in a relationship and there's tons of verbal abuse, you have to think twice about getting out of that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I just thought it was important, because we're reaching out to glam squads all over the world to join us, I thought it was important that they knew exactly what we were reaching out for.
Right.
So it's great that she could come on and share that information with everyone. All right. So, again, thank you guys for tuning in tonight. We'll be back again next Sunday night at 9 p.m. with another great guest. So stay tuned. Follow us on social media to find out what we're going to be chatting about next week. But in the meantime, everyone have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful evening, and have a beautiful and blessed week. Good night, everybody.
Good night.